Our scripture for today is found in the Gospel according to John, and is in the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 12. And this is what is written there, that we might grow in our understanding of Scripture and to grow in our understanding of what it is our God requires of us. And this is what is written there, a familiar to the are familiar with this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Hold on just a second. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. 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 I'd like for us to meditate, not just for this morning, but for the rest of your lives, on this subject. Do the greatest thing. Do the greatest thing. Several years ago, an athletic gear company devised an advertisement campaign that was designed to encourage people to pursue whatever strength or power they held within themselves. They didn't presume that talent or greatness within an individual was limited. They launched their advertisement with the idea that their product was made for a reason, and that what was holding people back from achieving their goals wasn't a lack of talent, but a lack of belief in themselves, and of course, using their product. The company's name was Nike, And the ad was a simple directive to anyone who heard it and believed the ad to just do it. Just do it. The ad became a powerful motivator that promoted their product, but caused people who once believed that they were average or mediocre to put aside all of their doubts and mount all of their belief in their effort to do whatever goal was on their list of things to do. Well, that was Nike, and it was a few years ago. But Jesus, over 2,000 years ago, gave an inspirational message to his disciples, every bit as powerful as the ad that Nike put out. And that message was memorialized for them and all who would follow to remind them that not only was doing great things a part of their DNA, but that their responsibility was to do the greatest thing in the world. So hear the word of the Lord. Everything that is made, is made for a reason. It doesn't matter what it is, from the smallest screw in your local hardware store to the largest John Deere tractor, everything that is made for a purpose. Even a hole is made for a reason. The advertisements we see from the television to the internet go so far as to tell us why. One of my earliest memories comes from my childhood, and I can clearly remember that big, warm, and friendly orange and black and white tiger named Tony telling the world that his sugar frosted flakes were great. And Tony the Tiger is still shouting to the top of his lungs, trying to convince the world that that they're great. At least in their eyes, only now he's doing it with Shaq. And yet here we are, children of God, and all we have to do is open up our Bibles to find out the truth about God and why we were made. And there's Jesus telling the world that long before there was sugar frosted flakes, we were made to do great things. Now, that may well be a picture that is hard for us to bring into focus on the video screens of our minds. To think that we are made to do the greatest thing is kind of like watching a TV program with the screen all scrambled. We see the screen, but we just can't make out the picture. And I know that's how it was for the disciples. Picture this. Jesus is walking around the IKEA shopping mall of Jerusalem, telling everyone who would listen to him about the good news of God. Finally, he gets a chance for some quality time with the disciples. They've been with him for 3 years now. They slept with him, had breakfast, lunch, and dinner with him, laughed with him, and cried with him. They've talked to him and listened to him and asked questions and learned from him. And in spite of all of their questions, they still haven't gotten the picture. Our story actually picks up in the last part of chapter 13 with Jesus telling the disciples that he's going away, and where he's going, they can't follow. And sensing their grief about him leaving them, he tells them not to worry. He says, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, and I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you can be with me. We can all be together. And the disciples say, we don't have a clue where you're going and or how to get there. So Jesus says, well, I'm the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then Philip says, show us the Father. Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Jesus says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And so in a last-ditch effort to get the point across, Jesus says, believe what I'm telling you, And if you can't take my word for it, then believe what you've seen me do, but believe. Because if you believe in me, not only will you do the things that I do, you'll do greater things than these. And it's such a hard pill to swallow for them and maybe for us too. Their need is for something real, something tangible to feast their eyes upon. They want to see God. Their heart and soul won't be satisfied until they can make a visual report to others. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. And then Jesus goes and muddies the water even more by telling them that they'll do greater things than he has done. Then, as now is the case, much of what we believe is based on what we see. And that would be particularly true about God. And many of us still can't swallow Jesus' statement that we'll do greater things than he did. But maybe there's something in all of it that points to the truth about God and us. You see, brothers and sisters, first of all, we all would be satisfied to see God. There is perhaps a bit of all of us that was born in the show me state of Missouri. Show me the real God. There is perhaps a part of us who, like Thomas, have said, unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, I will not believe. I want to see it for myself. There's perhaps a small child in each of us who wants to see God so that we can run and tell to everybody who ever doubted or disbelieved altogether, see, I told you so. But our eyes have failed us, and we haven't seen. Even though God has been closer to us than our own skin, we still haven't seen God. We may have experienced God's presence in undefinable, inexplainable ways, but we haven't seen God. And in some cases, we've refused to walk by faith and not by sight. And so we cling to our painted pictures of the closest representative we have of God, Jesus. Holding a lamb, or knocking on a door, or leaning over a rock in a garden at night as evidence that God exists. We use our pictures of some gentle, slightly detached looking individual sitting at a table with 12 other questionable people with a "why am I here" look on his face. And we'll call him Jesus or Emmanuel. We'll call that picture Jesus, even though we've never physically seen what he looks like. But it satisfies the canvas of our mind to see our God with us. It satisfies us in every way. And that's what we want. We want to see God and be satisfied. We long for that. But to believe what Jesus said, to believe that we will do greater things than he did, takes more than just seeing him. Seeing him for many would be a first step. But even for those of us who acknowledge who he is, who have believed in our hearts and confessed with our mouths, those of us who walk by faith and not by sight have a difficult time believing that we can do the same things that Jesus did and does, much less believe that we will do greater things than he has done. You see, brothers and sisters, believing, the essence of what we've come to know as faith, is a spiritual thing. Faith isn't based on intellect. It isn't based on logic or reason. Some of the things that happened in the life and times of Jesus Christ defy logic and reason. And while we count on faith to be powerful enough to defy logic, the truth is that God has required of us a more practical faith. This is a faith in which the power of God comes through us, a faith that tells us the truth about God and lives out God's truth, that we are made to do greater things than Jesus did. And our faith has to be, if we are to believe the words of Jesus, Our faith has to be if we are to believe that we are made to accomplish far greater things than Jesus ever did. Our greatness, our ability to do great things is forged by the power of our faith, faith which begs us to take Jesus at his word. It's a faith that tells us that we not only can do the works of Jesus, but believe we can do greater works than he's ever done. To believe in our hearts that doing the greatest thing is our destiny. But I see skepticism in your eyes. I see that look on your face that says, Pastor Ron is out of his mind. But we are destined to do greater things than Jesus did. Jesus just said so. But we get so focused on the magnificence of the miracles that we forget about the simple solutions of the Spirit. Simple yet powerful acts of grace done by Christ that even we can perform. Even in his day and age, we're still trying to get Jesus' message straight about God and God's power, that we miss the God present in us, let alone the God present among us. Have we forgotten so soon that though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself? Emptied himself, taking the form of a slave and being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Have we forgotten that Jesus pointed to God as the power of healing in every miracle done? Even upon Lazarus's exit from the tomb, Jesus said that what he was doing, he did so that the power of God and the glory of God could be revealed. And so our greatness, our ability to do great things isn't to do those miracles of healing. That's God's business. Our greatness is found in the words of Jesus that said, your sins are forgiven, or that your faith has made you whole. And therein lies our ability to do things that Christ did, to offer to others in the name of God in Christ the good news that God loves them and that their sins have been forgiven. That is our power, and in that power is our ability to do the greatest thing. It is that simple. Jesus said it himself. Is it easier for someone to say your sins are forgiven, or to say to someone, take up your bed and walk? Which is easier? Your cancer is gone. Your lip is no longer split. Your hip is no longer broken. You're no longer blind, deaf, unable to speak, or physically challenged. All of those miracles Jesus left in the hands of God. But the miracle of forgiveness and he performed and gave to us the power to do the same. The greatness, the ability to do that great thing he ascribed and delegated to us, to tell others that a restored relationship with God is not only possible, but available. That miracle of doing the greater thing he left to us, the responsibility of becoming God's public relations department that finally gets the message right, that in Jesus Christ, we've been reconciled to God. That miracle of doing the greater thing Christ gave to us. And that greater thing, that thing that we would do that would exceed even the works that Jesus did, that thing is to tell the story of the resurrection. That thing is to tell the world that he lives. That is the one thing that Christ could not do before his resurrection. That is the one thing he could not do after he ascended. That is the one thing that he left us to do, to take upon ourselves the yoke of greatness given in power and received in power and offered in humility. That is a greatness that has the power to turn the world around to see our God. So we're created to do the greatest thing, and not for the greatness as the world sees greatness, but greatness as God would count the work of Christ. God has given us the power to do the greatest thing and appointed us as ambassadors of God's kingdom for Christ's ministry of reconciliation, to tell the world the truth about God, that people have been given the gift of forgiveness and are reconciled to God. We're chosen to do the greatest thing because God has consecrated us to do the work. We're telling the truth about it. We've been consecrated to do this work of forgiveness in a world that is literally dying to receive the grace of God. We are made to do the greatest thing. We've been given the sole responsibility of telling the world that Jesus lives, and because he lives, we too can live. And I think I know what you're saying to yourself. Who, me? Brother Pastor, I'm just a kid. I'm just a nurse. I'm just a lawyer, a social worker. I'm an old retired person. I'm no Jesus Christ. Well, nobody ever said you had to be. We just have to keep working on it. But Jesus is the Son of God, and so are we, children of God. We are children of Almighty God, granted that privilege by the power of believing in Jesus' name. I mean, look at us. Have you ever considered who we are? I mean, really, have you ever considered who we are? We're created in the image of God, filled and motivated by the Spirit of God, consecrated by the blood of Jesus Christ, dedicated to the glory of his life. We are resurrected by the power of God, celebrated by the joy of God, and anticipated by the kingdom of God. We are made for greatness. And the truth about God, that God forgives us and made us to accomplish greater things than Jesus did, is a truth about God that the whole world needs to hear. And it's our job to spread the news, to do the greatest thing, and tell everyone we know, and even those we know, that Jesus is alive. That's the word of God today for the people of God today.